in Carlisle in 1951, as a young lad of 18, I was doing national service. I came from a non-Christian home, and I went to a meeting, and I heard the gospel. I repented of my sin, and I accepted Christ as my Saviour. I want to look at a scripture this afternoon, which we started the conference with, in Revelation chapter 1, please. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18. The Lord Jesus is speaking, and he's saying to John, I am he that liveth and became dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. And Mr. Baker noted that the phrase, I became dead, is one of four very precious things about the Lord Jesus. John tells us in his gospel, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. And my desire is, as the brethren have indicated, that we this afternoon, by the Spirit of God, might see something of the glory of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're told he became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. Paul, when writing to the believers at Philippi, said, he became obedient. And understand, the correct idea is up to the point of death. Death didn't take him. He voluntarily, of his own volition, laid down his life. He dismissed his own spirit. But this afternoon, I want to speak on something for a few moments, which has been very precious to me. I want to speak on the burial of the Lord Jesus. Mr. Bentley reminded us yesterday that we should read the scriptures carefully. And the late Mr. Jack Hunter would tell us that we should read the scriptures carefully and more carefully and even more carefully. Mr. Baker last night told us, or asked us, just to imagine we had never read the Bible. And we had never heard those words in Deuteronomy regarding Levi. And this afternoon, fellow believers, I want to take you to the four Gospels regarding a wonderful man, Joseph of Arimathea. And imagine, you had never read those scriptures before, and the Spirit of God this afternoon might impress them upon our hearts, and that we might have an appreciation of the person of the Lord Jesus. So shall we please turn, first of all, to the account of Matthew, chapter 27. This good man is recorded in all the four Gospels and different aspects of the writers and different aspects of the character of this good man. In Matthew, chapter 27 and verse 57 we read, and when the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. And he went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre and departed. Matthew tells us about this good man, that he was a rich man. He was a bold man. he went and sought the body of the Lord Jesus. And also we are told he was one of his disciples. When we come to Mark chapter 15, we're told something different. While you're turning to Mark 15, we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, those opening verses of the great chapter of the resurrection, the gospel the apostle preached, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. You may ask, why does it say the Lord Jesus was buried? We know the Spirit of God never wastes words. It's to show that he really died and that he really rose again in that wonderful body, now a resurrection body. To an audience like this, I trust everyone believes in the physical resurrection of the Lord Jesus from among the dead. And when we turn to that great chapter 1 Corinthians 15, we haven't time. How the apostle starts by putting the negative side. If Christ be not risen from the dead, the serious consequences of still being in our sins, but now is Christ risen from among the dead, and so forth. And so Mark tells us in his gospel, chapter 15 and verse 42, now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honourable. First of all, we're told he was a rich man. He, by the Spirit of God, had prepared that new tomb, according to the prophecy of Isaiah 53. An honourable counsellor, a member of the Sanhedrin, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. He did that knowing that he could be arrested and he himself could be killed to be associated with this one who claimed to be the Son of God. We've been reminded in recent ministry, we live in dark days, and we've been encouraged to look at these wonderful chapters of the first three chapters of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Brethren, if the Lord be not come, many of us, if we're still alive, us younger ones, we might have to even lay down our lives for the Lord Jesus. We live in dark days. Things are changing rapidly. The clouds are gathering. What's it cost you and me to be a follower of the Lord Jesus? Well, this good man, he was honourable. And he went boldly to Pilate for the body of the Lord Jesus. And verse 44, and Pilate marvelled if he were already dead. Often death took 2 days. But of course we know the Lord Jesus died at the moment he chose. He dismissed his own spirit. And normally they would break the legs of the malefactors in order to hasten death. But when they came to the blessed Saviour, he was already dead. A bone of him was not broken. Oh, my fellow believers, isn't it thrilling? Isn't it wonderful to see the accuracy of Scripture? And all those prophetical scriptures which we didn't touch from chapter 4 of Revelation on are yet to come to pass. Oh, my friends, I've got a book at home in my library and it's called The Best Is Yet To Be. We're on the victory side. And when he knew it, the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. Now I know those of you who know the original language, and I don't, but I do have a lexicon and so forth. he gave the corpse. That was the estimation of Pilate of that blessed one who hung on that central cross. He gave the corpse. But Joseph of Arimathea, he begged the body. Oh, my dear friends, how precious is the body of the Lord Jesus. That sinless man who became flesh. And he bought fine linen and took him down. One must be careful not to be sentimental, but I trust my comments now will be accepted from my heart and my little appreciation of the Saviour. It's Mark that tells us he took him down. He'd be assisted, of course, by Nicodemus. This is where I want you to shut your eyes and try and see that lovely scene. As Joseph would go to that central cross and lovingly would remove his hands and his feet. And how he would gently, with affection and kindness and devotion, he would take the body of the Lord and lay him in that linen cloth. Normally the malefactor was left, the birds, or cast out to the outside the city. Romans would take the body and dissect it. The Jews would embalm. But Joseph was there. And he lovingly took down the body of the Saviour and laid him in that linen cloth. And laid him in a sepulchre which was hewn out of a rock and rolled a stone under the door of the sepulchre. Will you turn, please, to Luke's account, please, chapter 23. Luke 23, verse 50. And Luke tells us, and behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, a member of the Sanhedrin. And he was a good man and just. He was a man of integrity. Because verse 51 says, the same had not consented to the council and the deed of him. He would not give his voice to this man to be crucified. He was bold. This man went unto Pilate, verse 52, and begged the body of Jesus. He took it down and wrapped in linen and laid it in a sepulchre. And then John, in his Gospel, chapter 19, tells us this. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews. You know, brethren are very hard on some of these lovely people in the New Testament scriptures. Don't be hard on Peter. I wonder if I had been there. Do you know this man? You speak his language. I wonder if I would have been like Peter. Now some have suggested that Joseph was a secret disciple for fear of the Jews because he was afraid of the testimony. I don't believe it means that. Because he did not give his voice to the sentence. I understand and I believe the idea secretly. He didn't want them to come and take the body and deface the body. He wanted to make sure that he was there first. But it says, nevertheless, he was a disciple. That he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And then John tells us there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night. How much has been written why he came by night? Was he also a frightened man? We don't know, but he came. Our chairman has said there may be someone among us today, and you've never come to know the Lord Jesus as your own personal Saviour. Think about this lovely one we've been talking about. This one who hanged on a tree. One in shame and ignominy. Crucifixion was a dreadful death. Crucifixion was for the vilest. You know, the centurion said, this man, certainly the righteous man. My dear friend, he died for you. He that paid the price for you on the cross. And his precious blood can cleanse you from sin. What a wonderful occasion at a conference like this, someone came to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And Nicodemus, which the first came to Jesus by night, and bought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen clothes, with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now the place where he was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new sepulchre, wherein never yet man laid. They laid Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. Joseph of Arimathea, a rich man, a bold man, a just man, an honourable man, a disciple. And he risked his life in order that that blessed body of our Saviour might be taken down and laid in that tomb. But on the third day, he rose from among the dead. And this afternoon we have a living Saviour. One who has conquered death. I am alive forevermore. What a wonderful Saviour. The world out there, they have no hope. They have no prospect. Many of us may never meet again in the flesh. But one thing we know. We shall see him. Peter could say of those disciples whom, having not seen, ye love, and rejoice with joy unspeakable and all glorious. We're told at the end of this lovely book of Revelation, we shall see his face. When he appeared to them, you know, he showed them on his hands and his side. And Thomas said, unless I see the marks of the nails, his hands and side, I will not believe. And how graciously a week later the Lord appeared to the upper room. And how the Saviour said to Thomas, come hither, thrust hither thy finger into my hands and touch my side. But Thomas, he all could say was my Lord and my God. And may that be the effect of our little consideration of the blessed Saviour. I mentioned the fact I was saved in 1951 for this reason. I've been to a lot of meetings and I've had the privilege to take a few. I've never heard any ministry on the burial of the Lord Jesus. There was Nicodemus, Joseph of Arimathea, and the two Marys. They're the only witnesses. But God witnessed in heaven the death and the burial and the resurrection of his beloved Son.